Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's Friday, the 7th of August 2015. I'm going to do a very short talk on asana. This is one of our short glossary style talks in which we hope to give definitions or characterizations of some of the key terms that we're likely to use, particularly with reference to yoga. Asana, the term literally means seat. It's come to mean posture, yoga posture, and asana is a yoga posture. And the practice of yoga postures is a very popular modern yoga form. Some wag called it modern postural yoga. It's not such a terrible term, I don't think. So a good example is the work of BKS Iyengar, died earlier this year in his 90s. Iyengar published a famous book, I think it was in the 60s, called Light on Yoga, in which 200 yoga postures are described, shown in photographs, and there's a lot of detail, helps you to practice these postures. Some of them, probably a good half of them, are very intricate contortions or gymnastic style exercises, and they're very, very, very difficult to perfect, or even just to be able to get any kind of a version of them. So I say there's over 200 of those in that, and it's very, very popular. This is probably the most popular modern yoga form, and it's popular worldwide. It's practiced all over the world, particularly popular in America and Europe. But it's everywhere. Modern postural yoga. As I say, there the asanas are positions in which the body is placed and held for a brief period, and then released. And sometimes these postures in certain modern forms are put together in dance-like sequences or into flow vinyasa flow sequences. So you're all familiar with things like cobra posture or bow posture or something like Padmasana lotus posture or the headstand, the most famous. It's pretty well known, and in the popular imagination, yoga is standing on your head, eating muesli, and breathing like Darth Vader. So that's the modern setup there. I'm going to go back in time now to the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which is some, 600-700 years old, 15th century, probably. There are four chapters in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and the first one is on asana, the other three are on pranayama, mudra, and samadhi. So the Hatha Yoga Pradipika is nowhere near as comprehensive as Light on Yoga. There are only 14 or 15 postures, and quite a good number of those are sitting postures. The author of the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, one Svatmarama, insists that you only do Hatha Yoga for the sake of Raja Yoga. It's a ladder with which one ascends to Raja Yoga. So basically, asana in that scenario is there to assist meditation. It's so that one can sit to engage in samadhi or to perform pranayama. This seems to be the main thing, and also with a concern for the body being in a good shape, so that it's not going to distract from a program of meditation. So the body's healthy, rendered healthy and energetic. And so on. There is a suggestion in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika that certain yoga postures almost have magical powers. You know, if you do such and such a posture for 12 years in such a fashion, you'll be enlightened, or you'll be able to ingest poison, or you know, there's this kind of magical thinking side to it. If we go back a bit further to the Raja Yoga, which is referred to in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika as being this kind of supreme discipline, which Hatha Yoga is there to assist with. And this is Patanjali's yoga, as outlined in the Yoga Sutra. And we're going back a couple of thousand years plus or minus a few hundred years. Patanjali does mention Arsana as the third limb of his eight limbed yogas, which is one of the yogas that Patanjali describes and outlines and gives us some hints and tips as to the practice that we would undertake if we wanted to get into Patanjali's style of meditation. One of the main things that Patanjali says about Arsana, and he just doesn't say very much, there's only a few words on it, but he says, Sthiram Sukham Asanam, which means that a yoga posture should be steady, sthiram, and comfortable, sukham. And it seems, I think, there that Patanjali is talking about sitting postures. Remember, his main focus is on meditation. But we can apply this nostrum, sthiram sukham, to any yoga posture that you can do without tremendous amounts of strain. So you could apply sthiram sukham in a sitting forward bend, for instance. Actually, Patanjali, in giving us this three-word formulation, is actually very cleverly introducing a whole world of yoga being state and yoga experience just in those three words. It's pretty marvellous. Now, steady, an asana needs to be sthiram, steady. So that means that you do need to be able to find some kind of repose in the posture. You need to be able to settle into the posture. So these very, very difficult gymnastics that we're finding in quite a lot of modern yoga posture practice are kind of ruled out just by that. Because however good you get at some of these things, they're never steady for more than a few seconds. You can practice for a lifetime with some of this difficult stuff, and you cannot let the mind settle. There's too much vigilance required to execute the posture, but given its complexity. So, easy postures, as far as Patanjali is concerned, they're going to be more useful to us than spectacular gymnastics. So, sthiram sukham means literally good space, sukham. But even more, if we get deeper into the language here and into the metaphorical character of the Sanskrit, it means having a good axle hole. And in this sense, it forms a complement to dukkha, which is having a bad axle hole. And dukkha generally gets translated as suffering, but it kind of more literally means not flowing, not turning properly, that the processes of one's existence are kind of bumpy. One has a rough ride when the axle holes on one's bullock cart are worn and misshapen. Sukham it's not exactly the opposite of that, it's the complement of that. It's what happens when you flow, when the wheel can turn smoothly, without bumping, without squeaking. So having a good axle hole. So there's a sense that one should be able to settle into the flow of things through asana, through seat, through posture. And Patanjali is actually, just in those three words, giving us a full program. it throws you headlong into the yoga being state if you can kind of catch what that's about in a posture practice. So, as far as the upshot is, the simple is good. It's more of a non-doing than a massive application of effort in Patanjali's take. Because we need to settle in to become steady, and that is a kind of a settling down. It's an allowing a settling to take place. And sukham, well, it needs to flow. It actually needs to be enjoyable. That's what this really means. It needs to be comfortable. And again, there's a certain sensitivity required to contact and experience the sukham, the delight of allowing the body to settle into a posture. And that sensitivity comes not by being hyperactive, hyperactivity within this kind of practice actually desensitizes. We want to allow ourselves to be the sensitivity that we are by allowing the experience, by connecting with the experience, by being willing and open to accept the experience. We don't have to move into pain with any of this stuff. This is what Sukhan means. Don't move into pain, but move into delight. And in this way, the blessings of yoga can be glimpsed and eventually established into the kernel of one's life.